I booted it and forgot to tell Jim that the reading from Corinthians would, should be the longer one rather than the shorter one, so I apologize. Because the longer one is, again, a continuation of the same passage that we had last Sunday about this variety of gifts. That is, we constitute together only as an ensemble the people of God. In other words, it is not the kind of hierarchical, autocratic church that at least I experience most of the time. It's a church where everybody can look sideways on a level field and see a fellow Christian, no matter what their position. And as I suggested last week, and because it is so difficult, at least in my imagination, to see the church in those terms, although that's clearly what the highest teaching authority in the church has established, namely the Second Vatican Council, the people of God, etc., etc. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And I think the only way you can do it, I mean, I can't see any bishop ceding place of honor to anybody, at least no bishop that I ever knew. It's up to us to reimagine, to reconceptualize what the church is like, you know? To disenchant our heads of this notion of an elevated status of some members of the church over other members of the church. In other words, to see the hierarchy as servants. That's a job that has taken place in order to keep the body functioning. Somebody has to be a servant. And of course, as Paul will say, we're all supposed to be serving each other, but we have, as I said, thanks to Constantine, among others, we've so elevated, exalted these people with big titles and funny hats into some kind of privileged caste within the church. And that's not the case. It's just not the case. It's just not what Jesus had in mind. We can be quite sure of that. Again, the image of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, that's not a theatrical gesture, by the way, although sometimes I think we're tempted to envision it in those terms. It was real. He was manifesting in that act of, I don't like to use the word humility, that act of service, what we're supposed to do with each other. Everybody, including the people with the funny hats. This male patriarchal caste, which has bedeviled the church for so long and continues to. Clericalism, as that book title has it, really is the death of the priesthood. So, again, I just bring this up to try to persuade myself and to you that the way we operate is inauthentically Christian. Where we have all of these roles and uniforms and statuses. For instance, today at Brescia they're celebrating the feast of Angela Merici, the foundress of the Ursulines. At least that's what they call her. Who was Angela Merici? She was this nice Italian lady in the 15th century. He looked around at the little Italian girls who, of course, were just being disregarded by everybody. He said, no, we need to teach these kids. They need to be brought into the community fully. So she addressed herself to these people who had no status or very little status. And then a bunch of other women in Brescia, her town, saw what she was doing and said, that's a really good idea. That sounds very evangelical in the strict sense, gospel-based way of doing it. And then Angela died, and then what happened? Angela wanted these women to live at home, not to wear special clothes, not to take vows, not to have any kind of public status, and then the men come in and reverse everything that she had done. So now you women have to go into a closet Wear funny clothes, or maybe they weren't funny in those days, and be subject to some patriarch. I wonder often about myself and my view and understanding of the churches. But I think it is true. I'm reading more stuff about Vatican II. We're not who we're supposed to be, which is all right. We're never who we're supposed to be. But we're supposed to acknowledge that we're not who we're supposed to be. The only real church is the penitent church. The only real church is a penitent church. And we are anything but penitent, I think, at least in the public manifestations that I know, at least. But that's what we're supposed to be about. Every once in a while there's a gesture, like the Cardinal Primate of Ireland and the Cardinal Archbishop of Boston actually did wash the feet of some people who were sexually abused in Ireland, but that was a one-off. Then we go back to business as usual, to concealment, to failure to disclose, to frankly a very dishonest position within the church, but within the world. Because this is, we're supposed to, I really take this stuff seriously, we're supposed to be the light of revelation to the nations. And unfortunately, I think we're indistinguishable from every major corporation. We look like everybody else. We act like everybody else. So that's kind of tenuously connected to this remarkable reading from Luke. Who was Luke? We don't know who Luke was. What we do know from his writing is that he was very sophisticated, because this is a standard classical introduction to a text. Since many have undertaken blah, 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 blah. And Theophilus, of course, just means God lover. So was he talking to a person or to a whole category of people? But this is the thing that he puts in the mouth of Jesus first off. Jesus' first public appearance is this quotation from Isaiah. We were sent to bring good news to the poor. And here, too, I think we're found wanting, officially. I mean, there's all kinds of good stuff going on in the church, clear. There are all kinds of nuns looking after orphans and AIDS patients and people terminally ill. But at least in my experience, that's not the first kind of resonance I have in my head when I think of the church. We really are supposed to be sent primarily to bring good news to the poor. Why? Because the poor are non-persons. They don't exist, truly. They're voiceless. They're invisible. They do not, for all practical purposes, they do not exist. And so Jesus, taking Isaiah's words, one do what? Confer their reality on them, on the poor. And acknowledge that they are real, that they do exist, that they are worthy of my attention. Again, that's who we're supposed to be. And to the extent that we're not who we're supposed to be, then we should at least have the decency to admit it. We're not who we're supposed to be. And ask God to convert our hearts and our minds and our imaginations. To see that should be the great symbolic presence of the church in the world. To be sent to bring good news to the poor.